Devahuti went back to Godhead. She went to Kapila Vaikuntha. And the place where she was taken, Siddhapada, and her body, because her body didn't go back to Godhead, she went melted into water, became a sacred river. And if you're bathed in that sacred river, you first have to find it. There are different holy places that are claimed by local residents in different locations, and they all say it's the same one. So maybe this is. Like one example, when we were in the place where Muchukunda's cave was, where Krishna went in and Kalyavana got burnt to ashes. There's a place that we visited during our Dwarka Yatra, and then one of the learned members said that we visited the cave of Muchukunda, but it's not where the cave of Muchukunda is. At least according to our Gaudiya Acharyas, it's not far from Mathura. And it's in now the state of Rajasthan, and there's a mountain there. Different place. So that's why I just the comment, assuming that we can identify, yes, that's the place. In Gujarat. Siddhapada. And the river. They're both in Gujarat. Yes? You've been there? No. Okay. Okay. That visit to Raivata Mountain left me a little cautious about assuming anything. When somebody says this is the place where in Bindu Sarovar there's lots of Bindu Sarovars around. Okay, text 33. My dear Vidura, Maitreya speaking, the great sage Kapila, the personality of Godhead, left his father's hermitage with the permission of his mother and towards the east. While he was passing in the northern direction, all the celestial denizens known as Charnas and Gandharvas, as well as the Munis and the damsels of the heavenly planets, prayed and offered him all respects. The ocean offered him oblations and a place of residence. Well, this is very far away. This is not northeast of Gujarat, Ganga Sagara. Anyway. It is understood that Kapila Muni first went towards the Himalayas and traced the course of the river Ganges. And he again came to the delta of the Ganges at the sea, now known as the Bay of Bengal. The ocean gave him residence at a place still known as Ganga Sagara, where the Ganges meets the sea. That place is called Ganga Sagra Tirtha, And even today people gather there to offer respects to Kapila Dev, the original author of the Sankhya system of philosophy. Unfortunately, this Sankhya system has been misrepresented by an imposter who is also named Kapila, but that other system of philosophy does not tally with anything described in the Sankhya of Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 35. Even now, Kapila Muni is staying there in trance for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in the three worlds, and all the acharyas or great teachers of the system of Sankhya philosophy are worshipping him. My dear son, interesting, Maitreya is calling Vidura his son. Since you have inquired from me, I have answered, O sinless one, the descriptions of Kapila Dev and his mother and their activities are the purest of all pure discourses. The description of the dealings of Kapila Dev and his mother is very confidential, and anyone who hears or reads this narration becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is carried by Garuda, and he thereafter enters into the abode of the Supreme Lord to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Purport. The narration of Kapila Dev and his mother Devahuti is so perfect and transcendental that even if one only hears or reads this description, he achieves the highest perfectional goal of life, where he engages in loving service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt that Devahuti, who had the Supreme Lord as her son, and who followed the instructions of Kapila Dev so nicely, attained the highest perfection of human life. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 33rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Activities of Kapila. Big letters. End of the third canto. Well, it's been quite a journey. End of the third canto. Now we're going to have to go back and cover some of the sections they didn't cover yet. The system of hearing and presenting what one has heard, the system of disciplic succession, a very ancient process, and it's the source that one hears from is very important. It's essential. Maitreya is excellently qualified. Going back to the earlier section of this third canto, when Maitreya was hearing from Krishna, Uddhava Gita spoken to Uddhava, the description is there that something to the effect that he is a great learned scholar and highly elevated, so elevated that one of his friends was Vyasadeva, very high in his capacity. However, his hearing from Krishna in that exchange, it would have a Gita exchange, brought him to the stage of perfection. And similarly, we hear that Vidura, by hearing from Maitreya, he went from extremely elevated, highly elevated, personality learned Yamaraj Mahajan, you know, at least from his origin, Vidura's origin was that. Became the topmost devotee also. So message here is that the process of hearing from the right source with an eagerness to receive that transcendental message, it can carry one to the perfection of life. Swiftly, slowly, depending on the quality of our hearing, the receptivity. We discussed this the other day about the quality of hearing has different elements that affect it or improve it. But she had all those qualifications. Especially mentioned again and again is her mind, matihi, her mind being completely fixed on Kapila. Then Lord Vishnu, non-different Kapila, Lord Vishnu. And in this way, fixed in mind and carrying out the instructions, because the instructions went deep because of her qualification and eagerness to hear, to go beyond Maya. Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. She was inquisitive in the ultimate benefit. Distractions of the mind have a lot to do with the temporary. You know, the likes and the dislikes and auspicious and inauspicious or favorable and unfavorable, managing those affairs. Can easily cause distraction from the Absolute. The resolution of that is fixing the mind on the Absolute is through the medium of service and just being an instrument of the will of the Personality of Godhead. So a standard for this, you know, discriminating, do we turn left or turn right, or how do we handle the circumstance that's come our way? Essential is to stay fixed on the ultimate mission, pleasing the Personality of Godhead, serving Him. And when that condition is there, cultivate it, and as that condition becomes stronger, 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 then Krishna gives the proper intelligence how to address the circumstances that come our way. So this is the final stage. There's, as Prabhupada did, by his departure, gave superlative example of how to leave this world, because that's something that's inevitable for everyone. The circumstances can be altogether unexpected or different, variegated. But in this case, she's contemplating, as her husband has gone and her son has gone, she's contemplating departure from this world, how to carry out that fearful stage of life or painful stage of life, or because being attached to the temporary makes it fearful. So how to get beyond that fear, or how to get beyond attachment to the temporary. So we're hearing that this method, and this method of hearing, just as she's doing, the very same thing for us, the method of hearing is also qualifies one, exactly as the benediction statement from Maitreya says. Just by reading or hearing this narration, one also the potency is there in this message because of its purity, that can carry one to the stage of perfection. Again, it's a qualitative statement, qualitative in the sense that how we receive that message is going to be, is going to take us to perfection or not. With no exaggeration in the statement. It's very nice, this, the, how the Purana section of the Vedas gives us the teaching, the philosophy that's there in the Shruti section, and illustrates it. This is how it looks. Different according to different circumstances, but in, the principles are there. If we're discerning, eager to understand, eager for to reach the goal, the primary means of deliverance is sound vibration, is shravanam, shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting, Vishnu smaranam. Therefore, the activity should be taken up with regulation. Somebody was sharing with me the other day, the course of this weekend. I do these things, and I'm stuck. I don't feel the progress is happening. That's a beginning of going beyond the stuck position, which is something is mechanical, although there, it's with faith. It must be with faith, otherwise even mechanical isn't going to happen. But how to go beyond, how to go beyond that eagerness to go the next step is essential for going the next step. And then looking more towards, or in additionally towards, not just the regulation, but the qualitative way that one is taking it up, where one's meditation is, where the mind is when doing those activities, same the regulation, the regulated activity of hearing and chanting and worshipping and visiting the temple and all those things. We need mercy. We need Krishna's kindness to... He's ready to give his kindness, but we need Krishna's kindness from our side. And looking for that descending mercy, not just doing the do's and avoiding the don'ts, not just structuring our behaviors in that way. That's a great step, being regulated in the activities of bhakti. And then another great step is what the mind does. What the mind does has a lot to do with intention. I've shared this before. I had a nice discussion with Shesha, like semantic play of words. But attention goes wherever intention is centered. There's a connection between intention and attention. Because one of his favorite phrases, renowned phrases, is where attention goes, energy flows. So pay attention to book distribution and books start going. You pay attention, energy goes there, it happens. So bring attention. So we may try, for example, enchanting, or reading and hearing, to be attentive. And then energy flows to the name, to the Bhagavatam, to the deity, to our service to other Vaishnavas. Energy flows where we're paying proper attention. if we're distracted, then it doesn't have the same effect. So now, how to get attention? The discussion we were having is behind it, attention is intention. What's the goal? What's really important to you? Beyond, you know, being comfortable in this world or something. People like you, or you know, the climate control circumstances are okay. It's not too hot, not too cold, or things that we can easily get distracted by when chanting japa, and the mind goes, and our attention goes, or hearing. And then the symptom that one, a symptom that one has heard with proper intention, and their intention is application. That's where the energy flows part. So it's not just the intention, it's not just information, the intention is to connect with our real identity and our relationship with Krishna. So we're hearing that in this section. Her intention is stated in many chapters ago. She wants to be free from distraction or affinity for family life specifically, but the temporary. That's our stumbling block. In Harinam Chintamani, it's one of the sources. Asat Krishna is one of the sources of offense or anarthas in the heart that result in are the result of offenses. So we're distracted or inattentive due to our attention is going to the temporary too much, particularly while engaged in sadhana bhakti. So the discipline of the mind is required, and discipline the mind, it's forever a monkey jumping. So there is a method of controlling the mind or directing the mind to where it should go. It requires discipline. It requires clear intention and commitment to that intention and staying with it through the circumstances of life. Not easy, but it's possible. And that's our process. Bring the mind to the shelter of Krishna. Isn't it? Wherever the mind goes, that's where the soul goes. Yam yam bhapi smaran bhavam chajatante kalevaram. Wherever your mind is fixed upon at the time of death, that's where the soul goes. It's not only at the time of death, it's moment to moment. Where does the mind go? Prabhupada writes that in any of the practices of yoga system, what the mind does is critical. So there's different methods of directing the mind. Ultimately, it's directing the mind. The most effective is directing the mind to the Supreme Personality, Mangatena Antaratmana. Directing the mind to the Personality of Godhead. Out of all the systems of yoga, the topmost is one where Mangatena Antaratmana, Shadavan Vajate Yomam. This is the Uttama form of the yoga system. Engaging in practical activity while the mind is firmly fixed, and engaging the mind comes from attachment to the object, Krishna, Antaratmana. The Bhagavad process is this process of hearing in a qualitative manner, where the intention helps us keep the mind where it should be and not distracted into the temporary. Be with the in service to the eternal, to the object of our devotion, and that's how one is encouraged or instructed by the Bhagavatam to do so. She achieves spiritual perfection, and hearing this wonderful narration helps one achieve spiritual perfection. So it's kind of like, hey, let's go back and read it again. And then again, and again, and again. Not just so that all the complexity of the information is there, but so that we, like Devahuti, we have the Shakti through the powerful sound vibration from Kapila Dev to achieve spiritual perfection. Stop there and see if there's some discussion. They want you to pass the microphone. You have a nice service.
Even though we know that hearing and controlling the mind is important, what happens to the situation when our health does not permit what we want to do?
No. Well, you accept the circumstance. You make your bed. And including taking care of your health as best as the resources that you are aware of take care of your health. And don't give up. Because all the circumstances are tough. But don't give up. Continue as best you can. Krishna will see that effort and Krishna will help. The help may not come in the form of good health as it comes back, but he'll help. That's the experience of one who takes shelter. We need Krishna's help. Help. Health or whatever the circumstance is that's not favorable. Something else? Yes.
Sometimes, even though I have the right intention, it's due to certain limitations I have difficulty in expressing. So there are chances of being misunderstood, or I don't understand in the proper way.
That's interpersonal. This is, you know, intention and interpersonal. Hey, welcome to the club. Where intentions are are not received by others in the same way as they were meant. That's your question? How to deal with circumstances where your intention is misunderstood?
Due to certain limitations.
Okay, well, whether it's, you know, limitations or whether it's, you know, something on one side, something on the other side, or combination. It's similar, you have a limitation. In this case, in his case, it was health. In your case, you're specifically saying, due to my personal limitations. You just accept that that's the condition, and you make steps that you know are possible to address that limitation. In this case, it's health. In the other cases, whatever it is. And depend on Krishna to, through that steps to overcome the limitation, be able to communicate more effectively what your intention is. My experience is, not specific to you, but in general, it's not only my own limitations are the, it's the result of intention not being properly conveyed or effectively conveyed. There's multiple factors. But there's at least, you know, your question is nicely put, at least something we can address is, you know, within your own power to work on is rather than addressing limitations. Those limitations can include things that we're not even aware of, like our own blind spots of attachment to something, and therefore in one side there's this intention, and then over there and over there or some other forces are acting because of our own some attachment that we're not even aware that we have, and it's coloring the intention. I guess that can be, you know, in the, under the category of a limitation. But it's not at all uncommon, say it positively, it's very common that what I just described is going on in human exchanges. Even from persons with all sincerity. Fortunately, the bhakti process is so powerful that can carry one beyond the limitation, our own shortcomings and attachments to the temporary. You similar answer to his question. The application is different, similar principles to be applied.
The word blind spots, some of which I may not be aware of.
Yeah.
Is it that I...
I'm not speaking you, I'm speaking general.
Yes.
I'm not pointing any finger.
It's something which I'm not aware of, and it's leading me to difficult situations where I completely... If I recognize something, I can at least add...
I understand what you're saying. What to do about blind spots. Because you're not aware of them. Have someone who's a number of someones, or at least different categories of someone who's a peer, or someone who's a superior, and they know you well, and they're not judging you, and they can indicate to you something that you can't see. And depending upon the person, they may feel guilty, they may feel denial, they may feel different feelings, which makes it difficult for your well-wishing friend or superior to say it again. But they may say it again, and say it again, and say it again, until, you know, at some point the blind spot is perceived. So, sadhu sangha, and where one's heart is open to such persons, and their relationships may be variegated, you know, who's in the category that I, that comes close enough that they can see my blind spot, so they can see specific to that language. I don't want to overemphasize it, but it does exist.
Thank you, Mom.
Yes.
I don't know if it's exactly a question, but thought that maybe you could elaborate further on. I was thinking about this intention that most times what we find around is that people are not working with some conscious intention oftentimes.
Yes.
It's just
mechanical.
Conditioned nature, and they're just pulled by the modes. And it takes a lot of purification actually to for a person to even start acting in a conscious way in what they're doing, although that's like the fundamental principle of our pure devotional service.
Yes.
I mean, anukulyena, intention. Just yesterday I was talking to someone, and it's just like they did some stuff, but just like I didn't have any bad intention. But also they didn't have a conscious good intention, so then they just get carried away by the unconscious intention that's there. But it's so difficult sometimes to even make somebody understand that you're being carried by these. We can say there's no intention. There is a deep-rooted intention of wanting to actually enjoy in the material world. But it's unconscious. Or like the other examples you were giving, that okay, I want to be recognized, or I want to be in this, you know, the different varieties of I want to be seen.
Different varieties of?
Like the intention, the deep rooted hidden intention is something of the conditioned nature that okay, I want to be seen, or I want approval, or I want attention, or particularly this variety seems to be very quite prominent in Kali Yuga of wanting to be seen. And I mean, I'm thinking of several like situations, and I guess it's just patience and the process of bhakti that's going to, I mean, if you have some further comments to make.
The reference that I made yesterday is coming to mind for the Sunday program, where in short, where sadhu sangha is, the hearing process brings one to the position of clarity. And so, the purity of the broadcaster, the willingness or eagerness, say stronger, the eagerness, the degree of eagerness of the receiver to go into a, whatever it is, spiritual direction, to get, may not have clarity what that is, but having some faith in the broadcasting person, the transmitter of message, then awakens this attraction. So, in practical terms, essential is our purity in being an instrument of Krishna's kindness. Another is, it's similar to the question we're discussing in the car on the way back, at what point do you, where do you draw the line? And it's natural, 100% natural, that Prabhupada did it, where there's a fertile field, you plant seeds. And where there's, you know, unfertile field, you don't spend so much time planting seeds. You may do a longer term thing of trying to make the unfertile field fertile, but you don't invest as much time in the unfertile field as you do where it's fertile. Exactly what Prabhupada did with, when he came to America, what he spent time with, when there was an eagerness to receive what he had to give. The audience was, you know, a little unusual, but there was an eagerness to hear, and that's where he invested time. And he had a strategy of amongst those persons where to invest more time and so forth. But you know, compassion was there nonetheless. That was the purity. His compassion had no motivation, and he discriminated. So you know, anyway, that was the question from yesterday. The question this morning is, when people are in that stage where the willingness to get to the point of spiritual intention and recognizing the other force that's working within them, it's sometimes arduous. So we have to kind of calibrate. What to do is our work on our own purity, and including the our intention behind the compassion. Consider, according to the circumstance, the recipient on the other end, what's best. And sometimes it may just take a long time, and that's okay. So then, the extension of well-wishing and care and compassion is going to be calibrated according to the capacity of the receiver. So there's always, my experience is, there's always some element, just like in book distribution, it's a great instructor. Everyone gets a chance to get a book. And out of those, everybody, some people are going to be special. And the special is special. And then, out of those, in the course of a month, somebody special, how many people respond? After you keep in touch with them, and then you just naturally work with those that are, they want to move. And then of those that want to move, someone want genuine bhakti and someone want something else. They want to move not to genuine bhakti. I mean, they're like, I don't want to move to genuine bhakti. Want to move, but not into genuine bhakti. So, the intention is skewed. So the big picture from our founder Acharya, I just heard it yesterday in a lecture, we want to create a class of first class men and women, and so that's the when distributing books or giving mercy, or some persons really want to move to becoming a first-class person, being for perfection. So more attention goes there, naturally. And those persons can then in turn help other persons. Then it gets confusing sometimes because there's so many persons and so many different levels and standards. And but compassion, you keep going because of compassion. And then try to have systems and structures and ways and means of bringing those persons that are at this level to the next level and then that level to the next level. And don't expect that all persons want to move to the, even to the next level. But we provide an opportunity, create the opportunity as far as we can for persons to go next and see, incubate and see if they move. It's complicated. It's complicated in part because of our own conflicts of, where do we repose our compassion and our extending of being instruments of Krishna and Krishna's mercy. It requires direction from Krishna, some spiritual intelligence, how to. Anything else? Yes?
I've been thinking about Krishna Guru Maharaj, initial part of the lecture you were saying that the process of hearing from the right source.
Yes.
Like that.
Mm.
So I'm thinking at the work we are trying to get the things moving, that get the things done at the work.
Oh, at work. At work. We're at workplace now.
And even in the temple services like that, I see the prominence for numbers or quantity, amount of service done like that. So, but the way I'm understanding is try to improve the purity. So my question is coming to how do I know that I'm working on the purity, not get carried away by this.
Not doing what?
Working on the purity, but not getting carried away.
Getting carried away, okay.
Yeah, carried away by this quantity and the measurement stands. Is it that as long as I'm accountable to my teachers and you, is that a good checkpoint?
Well, yes, that's not the only control rod in the whole process. Don't get carried away with quantity. In the beginning, so for introspection purposes, aside from accountability, introspection purposes, let's say in the beginning, eventually it becomes just natural, but in the beginning it's kind of structured. You know where they're bringing up this particular example. You know that you may have this tendency to, on the one hand, forget purity, and on the other hand, become more concerned about quantity. So just taking that structure of your question, knowing that that's the tendency is there, this side, that side, you, from time to time, hit the pause button, and you reflect, introspect. How's it going over on this side? What are some? Then eventually you become familiar with that territory. There's some bullet points, and you'll know over there symptoms of this and then symptoms of that. and just do this introspection. Now, it can be, it's good to do this periodically with devotional service in general. You know, you just hit the pause button and say, kind of like, how am I doing? Am I really clear, like speaking specifically about intention, am I really clear about why I'm doing this? Is it on this side or this side? Because I know that's a weakness. Am I, you know, it's refining the intention. Because in the less mature stage, even the conception of what the right intention is going to be different than when you're in a more mature stage of what the right intention is and what it looks like and what it feels like. That's good. It's kind of uncomfortable, you know, because I can't just perform, I have to be introspective. And you know, I may find stuff that, you know, I don't like looking at. So you just like close that chapter and go back to, you know, performing. But introspection is it's good. And then it helps the persons who you're being accountable to, and they can say, well, it's not, yes, congratulations, or it's not quite like that, it's more like that. So it'll help the accountability dimension. Internal is really good. Recommendation is keep it simple, because you get, if it gets complicated, then nothing changes because you're played out. So be very clear. This is both by introspection and by the guidance. Be really clear, what are areas that I want to work on for this period of time, whatever that is. It's either something that's low-hanging fruit, it's easy to work on, or something that's really jugular, it's really, I got to work on this, and it's going to affect and improve everything else. But don't make the list too long. Stay focused on achieving purity in this department or area or aspect, internal and external. And stay with it. And then do both the introspection and the accountability activity, ultimately relying on Krishna. You have something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, after hearing, I mean, many lectures or instructions...
Speak slowly, please.
After hearing many lectures and instructions, I mean, it may be sometimes easier to start the activity with the right intention.
Ah.
But during the process of that activity, I mean...
Something else happens.
Yeah. You know, how to be conscious and...
Well, just practice. Just hit the reset button and you go back again. Okay. What am I doing here? What's the intention behind what I'm doing here? Why am I doing this? What is important? You know, you keep this refresh. Okay? Periodically. And then it becomes second nature. You just, as I was describing here, you do it in a formal fashion, and then it just becomes spontaneous. It's what you do internally. You check. And ultimately is attachment to the object, Krishna. Okay, I think we're going to end. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.